Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Identity lost and found. Talking about identity lost and found, access. You know, so I asked Richard because I forgot my access, but I've got an access card here. I don't know if everyone knows what an access card is. I am a supplier at Investec Bank, and in order for me to access their building and to access some of their rooms and places that I need to go to put flowers, they've given me an access card. And on this access card, all my identity is loaded. They took a nice photograph of me. They've got my ID number, they've got my contact details, they've got my authority, they've got the floors that I am allowed to access, my designation, the authority that I have, my gender, my date of birth. Everything is loaded on this access card. All the levels of access that I can go into. So my access is directly related to my identity. If they cannot identify me, then I have no access. So my access is and your access is directly related to your identity. I can only go where my identity allows me to go, all right? And there are some places within the bank that I can't go. So I go up to executive level, and there's a certain couple of rooms that I can access. But if I go to the chairman's suite and I swipe my card, zik, access denied. Let's go. I cannot go. There's some places that my access, I'm not allowed. Why? Because I'm not identified. I'm not allowed. I do not have authority to enter that place. And I want us to go, if we can, to Genesis 1 and verse 26. All right. And Curtis, we heard last week just talking about the fingerprint of God. I just want to elaborate a little bit more on that. But Genesis 1 and 26, this is what the word of the Lord says. Then God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So think about that. In our image, in our likeness. Let us make man that not only looks like us, but begins to act like us. Begins to have the kind of authority that we have in our likeness. That likeness is not just in looks. It's in personality, character. It's beautiful. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that, okay? So let us make man in our image so that, say so that. Okay, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. Our identity is given to us so that we can do something with it. Not that we can just look nice and call ourselves Christians, but God gave Adam. Adam, when I talk about Adam, I'm talking about mankind from the earth. God gave Adam, man, identity so that he can do something with it. It's a powerful thing. So he can rule over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. I love that, in his own. It's not in anyone else's, in my own image. He got personal there. We were created in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So when we talk about Adam, it's also the Eves amongst us. Amen. I want to go to Genesis 2. This is just continuing the creation story, Genesis 2 and verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now we heard, I mean, even last week, and we go through creation, and God speaks. He speaks the universe into being. He speaks the sea. He forms everything. He speaks light. But when it comes to man, he doesn't speak it. It's like almost, he says he formed us out of the dust of the earth. He gets his hands dirty. He gets personal. He almost like kneels on the ground, and he scrapes together a whole lot of dust. And when he forms it, there's an intimate moment here. When God raises us up and he breathes into our nostrils, it's like almost a divine kiss, and we receive life, and says we become a living being. We become living men and women. I love that about God. When he gets to create, when he creates you and he gives you an identity, it's not like the animals. It's not like the angels. He didn't get personal with them. He gets personal with us. In my own image. Mankind, Adam, we're from the earth. That's what Adam means, from the earth. We were created and given an identity. We were created in the likeness and the very image of God, in his image. Now, when I'm reading that, actually in my commentary, it says that a correct translation is this. Let us make man as our image, not in our image. And that little, that as in, it gives to this function there. Let us create man as our image. There's a big difference to in our image. And now, it's not just looking like him, it's acting like him. Now, in those days, emperors, especially in Rome, what they used to do, they used to commission sculptors that used to sculpt beautiful, big sculptures of them in their likeness. Caesar. So when you entered Caesar Philippi, there in the gates, there's the image of Caesar. And he says, these things were created as his image. Why? Because it represent, when you went into that place and you saw Caesar, you understood that this territory was governed by that person. He was, the image was as his image. So he had the authority. When you entered in that place, it was a symbol of his authority and his rule and his dominion. We were created as God's image, placed on earth. Why? Because we had a certain authority, dominion, and power. We were created almost ambassadors. In fact, yes, ambassadors of Christ with a function to rule and reign. To rule and reign, created as his image. Adam, mankind, was a representative of God's authority, rule, and dominion. Man's identity gave him access. Now think about this. Man's identity, God created him in his own image. And then he says, I placed you in Eden. I placed you in that garden. We had full access. We ruled and reigned in Eden. If we wanted to go to the left, we went to the left. There was no place that was unavailable for us to go to. We had access to the very presence of God. The Bible says that Adam walked in the cool of the day with the Lord. Full access, except for one place. Except for one place. When God says, you've got access to every place in Eden, except to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There I deny you access. And I tell you what, sometimes, even in our freedom, God says, I'm going to put certain boundaries. I'm going to deny you access. Now, as children of God, we have so much freedom in Christ. And there's a caution here. Let us not use our freedom beyond the borders that God has given us. There's some things that God says, no, that thing, I've set a border around it. God sets borders and he denies access to places, not because he hates us. But he actually denies us access because he loves us. And he said to Adam, he says, if you partake of that tree, you will surely die. Something is going to change within you. And he denied him access. But what did Adam do? He went beyond his authority. And he swiped his card and zip. And he accessed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happened there? God said, because you have done that, I've got to deny you access to the whole of Eden. And Adam was barred with Eve. They were barred, no longer having access to the presence of God. I was born on the 17th of June, 1969. All right, I inherited my identity. I inherited a physical identity and I inherited a spiritual identity. I was born to my father, Theo, and my mother, Dina Livados. There was a physical inheritance. I inherited, as we've heard, a lot of the physical traits that we have. But it was passed down. I was born a son of Adam, just like they were born a son of Adam. We all get our lineage dated back, traced right back to Adam. And in Adam and in his identity, I find my identity. And because his identity was spoiled and marred by sin, my identity was spoiled and marred by sin. And as a result, I do not have access. I do not have access to the presence of God. I do not have access in my physical nature to the presence of God, to eternal life. I inherited a physical identity and a spiritual identity. I was identified spiritually as dead in my sin and my trespass. That's what the Bible says. I became, through birth, the Bible says, by nature you are enemies of God. I sometimes say, well, Lord, that's a bit unfair. How did I? But the Bible is clear. Whether the theologians have gone into that, at the end of the day, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all become not only, we become personally guilty of our own sin because it's in us. We cannot help but sin. And so the image of God in us is marred. We do not look like him anymore. We do not have access to him. That is a problem. In John 3 in verse 1, it says this. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs you are doing if God is not with him." What was Nicodemus saying? Nicodemus was actually saying, we know that you have come from God because no one can do these things except God is with him. Nicodemus was actually saying, we see in you that you have access to God. Access that no other person has got. I'm wanting to find out a little bit more about that. I believe that was the real question in Nicodemus' heart. He's saying, I see in you, Jesus, you have a level of access that our Pharisees, our scribes and our teachers do not. And Jesus Christ, it's almost, he interrupts his little message and he cuts him short in verse 3. And Jesus replied, "Verily, verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again." Jesus knows what Nicodemus was of. Talking about access. You see, there's a part of man, because we have been cut off, we are wanting access again to God. And we're trying. And through Nicodemus, a Pharisee, his whole life he was trying to gain access. And here he sees a man who has access. And Jesus says to him, "Nicodemus, I'm telling you something. You won't even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it, unless you are born again." And Nicodemus responds, he says, "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." So he goes a little bit deeper. Now he's talking about no one is going to see and no one is going to enter. Now he's getting to the crux of it. Verse 6, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again." Flesh gives birth to flesh. Jesus was saying, but I'm talking about spirit giving birth to spirit. You see, your identity has got to change. As you are Nicodemus in your physical form, you will never even see. You'll never even enter the kingdom of heaven. That is flesh. Flesh cannot inherit spiritual things. Only spirit can inherit. You need to be born again. New identity comes only through new birth. Think about that. New identity only comes through new birth. You cannot get it any other way. You cannot go and buy a new ID card. You cannot bribe Home Affairs of heaven and say, "Please give me a visa for heaven." You cannot do that. The only way to enter, now think about that. How did we enter this earth? How did we gain access to this kingdom, this realm, this physical realm? The only way to gain access to this physical realm is to be born. That's why Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Unless you are born of water, I believe that interpretation, I interpret it as you need to be born of water first. There needs to be, you know, when you give birth, there's the breaking of water. You break through. You can only enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born of water. It can also mean the word. It can also mean baptism, yes. But I take it, unless you are born physically, all right? And then of the spirit. But Jesus says, you need to change your identity. Because if we just born, 17th of June, 1969, physical birth, born of the flesh, I'll never see the kingdom of heaven. I need to be born again, a spiritual birth. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus hangs on the cross and he says this, "It is finished." Have you ever asked yourself, what is finished? What was he talking about? And I'll tell you, if you go into that study, what was finished? What was accomplished on the cross? Many, many things were accomplished. But tonight I want to focus on one thing that was accomplished. The restoration of our identity as children of God. You see, Adam, first man Adam, lost his identity in the Garden of Eden. Second man Adam, Jesus Christ, for those of you who don't know, Jesus Christ is referred to as the second man Adam. First man Adam blew it in the Garden of Eden. He for all of us, wrecked our identity. He canceled our access to God. Second man, Adam, when he hung on the cross, but even before the cross, he regained our identity in the Garden of Gethsemane. And why I say that, it's just because it's nice. We're lost in Garden of Eden, gained in the Garden of Gethsemane. But think about it. Where was the battle won with Jesus? The battle was won in the garden. That's where he wrestled. That's where he toiled. That's where he faced it. The rest, the cross, was as a result of the decision that the second man, Adam, had in the Garden of Eden. He says, not my will. He actually said, Father, because he knew what kind of a death it was. He knew what was at stake. Absolute identification with man, with our sins, so that we can have absolute identification with God. And he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ restored and he made it possible for us to be born again. So when he hung on the cross, he says, it is finished. It is possible for us to regain a new identity through Jesus Christ. When Jesus breathed his last, it says, the Bible says that the curtain temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What did that symbolize? We had absolute access to the presence of God through Jesus Christ. The Bible talks, and I think I preached about the gate. Jesus became, it says, we entered into the most holy place, not by the blood of bulls and goats, not by gold and silver, not by sacrifice, not by the traditions of religion and man, but we entered the most holy place. We were given access that only the high priest once a year was given access to. And he were with fear and trembling, he went, but we were given access to the very presence of God through Jesus Christ, through his body. We gained access to God. It is finished. It is possible that we can become brand new creations. How do we receive our new access cards? That's the kind of question that I want to. How do we receive this new identity? Now, I mean, I had the privilege of going with a team to Rwanda last year, and we organized, and I was happy to travel with Tony. I'm glad Tony's here tonight. And Tony is a great man to travel with, I'll tell you what. Because we arrive at Owatambo, and it was, Tony says, listen, John, let's get there early so that we can just relax in the slow lounge. I'll be honest, I've never been in a slow lounge. I've got close, but I've never been able to access a slow lounge. I couldn't do it. Tony says, John, don't worry. Stick with me. We're going to get into the slow lounge. And so I said, Tony, that's a fancy place. I tell you, it's a beautiful place that they got the, it's almost like a concierge desk, but like it's the desk manager. And there were two, I'm going to elaborate on the story, but give me some poetic license. But there were these two ladies over there. And Tony says to me, he says, John, I'm going to get us in there. I said, Tony, have you got the authority? Can you get me in there? He said, John, I want you just to trust me and just believe in my name and watch what's going to happen. So we're asking our question, how do we receive our new identity? So we walk up to the concierge desk, and they say, who are you, sir? So I'm hanging back. I'm watching this. I've got no authority. I'm feeling like a fish out of water. But Tony, with all boldness, now think about this, with all boldness, walks up to the desk, lays his access card down, and he says, I'm Tony Fossey, and this is my friend, and we're going to enter your slow lounge, and we're going to enjoy the spoils of it. So the lady says, yes, Mr. Fossey, okay, let's have a look, checks his credentials, all right, there, his name comes up, all his credentials, yes, his account is paid up today, boom, boom, boom. I tell you what, with all boldness, it says we enter the most heavenly place with a confidence in Jesus Christ, with an absolute confidence. It says not with shame, not being scared, but with a boldness we come before the presence of our God. And Jesus Christ, it actually says when he rose from the dead, it says that he presented himself to the Father. And he said, Father, look, this blameless, sinless sacrifice. And the Father looked at him and he says, I accept. I pass you. With your credentials, you lived a sinless, spotless, and it's a beautiful sacrifice. Enter in. And all those that are with you, enter in. In John 1 and 11, it says this. He came, speaking of Jesus, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. In other words, Jesus came to the Jews first. It actually says that he came to the children of Israel first, came to his own. But his own did not receive him. Another translation, his own did not recognize him or identify with him. In other words, he came to his own and he says, I am your access to the Father. For all these years, we've lost it. Adam lost it for us. But God promised us access. I am your access. And you know what they said to him? They said, you, Joseph's son, the carpenter's boy from Nazareth, what good can come from that? We don't receive you, and we don't believe, and we don't have faith that you can grant us access to heaven. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But, verse 12, it said, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That's how we just have faith and just believe. If you just believe in the name, I had faith in Tony's name was going to get us in. That's all I did. I placed my faith in that, and it got us in. We just have to believe that Jesus Christ, when he says, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, when we place our faith, to those who receive him, he gives you the right. Now that word right, it's a legal entity. It's legally binding. Gives us right to change our identity to become now identified, not as sons of Adam, but sons of God. To them he gave the right to become children of God. Remember, we only change our identity through birth. He says, I give you the right to become born again. Powerful. We gain that. Jesus says in John 3:16, whosoever believes, you have the right to become born again. This is a funny thing about children. We heard about children this morning, but children are the ones who receive inheritance. Now, I've been updating my will, and I'll be honest with you, everything. You know, should Nikki and I pass, and it's a good thing, you know, it's a good thing to update your wills. Everything goes to the children, to blood. Slaves do not inherit. Slaves earn a wage. They earn their wage, they work and they earn a wage. But children get the inheritance. There's something that comes to us. Another thing about children, only a child would dare at 3 o'clock in the morning, go into their parents' room, wake them up, gain access to their parents' bedroom, gain access to their sleep, break in as it were, and say, please, I'm thirsty, I need a glass of water. And I tell you what, for Nikki, she was always, she gave access. But there's a cute little, in their little onesies, they're so cute with their little blankie, please, you know. It's hard to be angry with them. I tell you what, as children, it says, enter as children. As children, we have access to the Father that no other person has. I can't access, I'm picking on Tony, but I can't access Tony's business account. I can't access his personal files. I can't access those kind of things, just have access to his car and things like that. But his son and his daughter can. Why? Because they're children. I'm just a friend. But Jesus calls us friends and children. We have access. It's a beautiful thing. Number two, how do we gain our access card? Confess Jesus Christ before others. We gain access when we confess Jesus Christ before others. So now those two ladies, before we enter in, we're still at the desk manager, and they say, after they've checked Tony's credentials, they say to me, and they ask me, are you with Tony? I don't know whether legally they had to ask or whatever the case may be. Maybe I was trying to just come in on the side. But they actually asked me, are you with Tony? In other words, do you identify yourself with this man? And all I said is, yes, I'm with him. Me and him, we're close. I'm with him. Funny, they asked Peter this around a fire. They said, aren't you with them? And Jesus Christ said, no ways, I'm not with him. Not a chance. I tell you, we have got a chance here to identify ourselves with Christ through our confession. And I tell you, sometimes our confession is going to bring us great blessing, but it's also sometimes going to bring us great tribulation. But I just said, yeah, no, I'm with him. And then they turned to Tony, and then they asked Tony, is this guy your friend? Is he with you? And because of my response, yes, I'm with him, Tony speaks up and he says, yes, he's with me. Romans 10 and verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, no, sorry, Matthew 10 and verse 32. Let's go to that one first. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Powerful thing. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. If we confess Jesus Christ and say, I am with him before others, Jesus proudly and boldly declares to the Father, he is with me. If we deny him, on that day, Jesus is going to, with all right, with all due respect, he's going to say, man, I never knew you because you never chose to know me. And it'll be a legal right for him to just say, no, there's no access. But because I have identified myself and I confess Christ, there's a legal precedent. I have identified myself with Christ. He identifies himself with me. Romans 10 and verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. All right. So if we say Jesus is Lord, and that you've heard me say it, you've heard me teach it, that Jesus is Lord is Adonai. If you say Jesus is God, all right, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. In other words, you believe that Jesus Christ was a man. So you believe that Jesus Christ was both God and man. All right. You will be saved. Verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. There's something positive and powerful when we confess Christ before others. So I didn't enter the slow lounge on my own name. I entered on a name with an authority higher than myself. I entered on Tony's name. We enter heaven not on our name. We have no identity. Our identity can't access us. But because of Jesus' identity, he is the spotless Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He swipes his card and I enter on that name. There's no other name by which we can have access to the presence of God except the name of Jesus. Did I pay a cent for entering the slow lounge? I confess, I paid not a cent. Someone had to pay. I mean, it's a beautiful place. Someone had to pay, and I bet it's Tony. I don't know how they do it. They debit his account, but Tony didn't say anything. That's gracious. That's generous. I entered, not on my name, and I entered paying not a cent. It cost me nothing to enter the slow lounge. It costs us nothing to enter the kingdom of heaven, to have access to that kind of thing. And I tell you, then they said to us, enter and enjoy. Oh my gosh. We're traveling soon. I hope I get to see that slow lounge again. But let me just quickly. Little moist towels rolled up so nicely. Orchids all over the place. There's a little place that you can go and get a back rub. There's a place that you can shower. That's on the right. If you go to the left, and there's many lounges. You plug in, there's Wi-Fi as much as you want. Then the food. I was particular to the butter chicken with the sprinkles of fresh coriander. That's what I had 3 times. Then there was braised. That, as much as you want. I said, we're going to Rwanda. I don't know what is going to meet us on that side, but this is free, Tony. Yeah, it's free. Yeah. Whatever you wanted to drink, whatever you wanted, there was a bar that you could order from, fridges that you could order from, the desserts, chocolate, whatever you wanted was at your disposal. It was absolutely amazing. Then it came the cappuccinos, and I was taking, it was awesome. Cost me nothing. But we receive our identity, like we said. He created us in our image so that we can rule and reign. So it came to a time where we had to leave the slow lounge. We had to go into the nations, and I thank God for that. He gives us an identity so that we can go and represent him. And there we were, represent for the next day. But I lived off that slow lounge for a long time. It was all of my. We identify ourselves in Christ through our clothing. It's a strange thing, but clothing identifies ourselves. I mean, if you see a man coming into this church in a white coat with a stethoscope around his neck, white shoes, he's a doctor. If you see him in a blue overall with grease all over him and things, he's a mechanic. Our clothing identifies ourselves. I can know which sports team that you identify yourself with by what you're wearing. If you're wearing black and yellow, it's? Huh? Sundowns. I thought it was Kaiser Chiefs. Hey? Kaiser Chiefs. If you're wearing red, it's Liverpool. But listen to this. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, it says this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. We get that. We become children of God. Our identity changes through faith. Verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Let me emphasize it. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Jesus Christ. How do I identify myself with Jesus? I wear him. And it fits like a glove. One size fits all. I mean, but he fits me just the way that he fits Richard. It's perfect. I clothe myself. Baptism in this sense is not water baptism. Baptism means total immersion. That's what it means. To be totally immersed. How am I totally immersed in Christ? Well, forgive the picture, but like I unzip him and I climb into him and I zip him up. When people look at me, they don't see John the old man. They see Jesus Christ because I am in Christ. I have clothed myself. My identity becomes matched with his identity. So when God the Father looks down and says, behold my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. If I am in Christ, if you are in Christ, behold the beloved Son and daughter in whom he is well pleased. We are clothed with Christ. For you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Verse 28, look at this. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. Now look at all the identifications, all the IDs, all right? Jew and Gentile, slave nor free, male, female. You have all become one in Christ. In other words, as a Jew, I lose my identity. I'm happy to lose my identity. As a Greek, I lose my identity. As a male, I lose my identity. As a female, you lose your... We all lose our... As a slave, don't call me slave. I've become identified with Jesus Christ. I am in him. My identity has changed. We put on Christ, we take his identity. All right, number four. And I've alluded to that. We identify yourself with Jesus Christ through baptism. And I just want to quickly... read this, Romans 6 and verse 1, through baptism. Now this is talking about also water baptism. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? In other words, we were recognized in his death. We were recognized and identified with Jesus' death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if you have been united with him, or another translation would say, if you have been identified with Christ in death like this through baptism, we will certainly also be united or identified with him in the resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. Our old identity was crucified, that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So when we are identified through baptism, when we go through baptism, that is a beautiful way that we can identify ourselves. And that's exactly what baptism is. Publicly, you are public, because... inwardly, we identified with Christ through our belief. It's faith. It's an inward thing. Baptism is a public declaration. It's publicly saying, I'm with him. I'm with him. That's basically what you say at your baptism. I'm with Christ. And I tell you, in those days, people were under the persecution of death, did they say, I identify. But it was so important. I become identified through baptism. Identify yourself through circumcision. That might sound very, very harsh, but... we are identified with Christ through circumcision. Quickly, Colossians 2 and verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. The fullness, all right? And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Full identity again. He is the head over every power and authority. Verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off or cut off when you were circumcised by Christ. That's what it means. I'm not talking about physical circumcision. What is born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the spirit is spirit. We are identified with Christ when our old self, that old sinful nature, has been circumcised. The Bible says cut off. cut off. It's no longer part of us. So why then do we always want to say, I'm a sinner saved by grace? If you've been circumcised, if that thing has been cut off, stop letting it grow back. You have been circumcised once and for all. That old self has been done away with, a new nature. The way that they identified Jewish people, this is, we're talking about DNA and identity. See, Jewish boys, I think on the eighth day, were circumcised physically. So if anyone wanted to identify them as the tribe of Israel, as the sons and the daughters of the living God, they would look and do a physical examination. There was, and when they saw the physical mark of circumcision, they identified them. These are ones who belong to Yahweh through physical circumcision. When we come before the Father, he's not going to look at our physical circumcision. He's going to look at the circumcision of the heart. And he's going to say, Sinker, I see that you've been circumcised. And brother, I identify with you. Come in. Male and female, we are circumcised. We are cut. Sin is cut away from us. And the last thing, we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ through love. That's a powerful one. And I want to end on that one. John 13, verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Verse 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. How do people identify us as disciples of Jesus Christ? Not by how often we meet, not by how many scripture verses we quote, not by how big our tithe is, not by how many times we go to church. We are identified as disciples and as children of God by our love for one another. I tell you, the world is needing to see and identify. It says creation, the whole of creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. They're waiting. We are revealed when we love one another. Continue to love one another. Amen. Can I pray for us?